remember when the last time it was when we had a message on prayer? Yeah, me neither. I don't remember. So I think it's high time that we talk about a bit of prayer. And so today we're going to take a look at praying in depth, being obedient to His will. And there are some simple prayers in Scripture that just touch on the surface of a deeper in-depth prayer, or prayers that we can have. One example is what Yahshua told us to pray for in Matthew 9:35 through 38. It says Yahshua was going through all the cities and villages, touching or teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the evangel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Seeing the people, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is great, but the workers are few. Therefore beseech Yahweh of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest." I mean, we can do this. We can go before Yahweh's throne and ask Him, please help, please provide more workers that we can see the work prosper and that people are not led astray. Imagine seeing kittens wandering around, but no mother in sight. Would you feel concern for the kittens? Could you see yourself feeling the need to pick one up? And it's okay. You can say, "Aw." Okay. And to love and to care for it. Sometimes it's helpful to think about other situations we're familiar with to understand what is being expressed. Typically, we don't see sheep around or shepherds, at least not in the physical sense. The prayer request is to request help for the figurative harvest. The allegorical sheep need food. They need spiritual food. But without a shepherd leading correctly to where green pastures are, the sheep would be at risk for getting sick and dying. Spiritually, this is happening to people today. Even with true shepherds, many sheep are ill because they are led astray by false shepherds who teach false doctrines and lies, such as the law is no longer to be kept or ever could be. They give Yahweh's word a thumbs down, not knowing the damage that they are doing to the people they are feeding their garbage to. And it is garbage. To say that you cannot keep the Ten Commandments, to say that you never were able to keep them, is just ridiculous. And yet we hear prominent preachers teaching such foulness. It's important to pray for more true shepherds for the field who will feed the sheep properly so that they can be in good health and in a right relationship with Yahweh through Yahshua, his son. Yahshua speaking of the end of the age says in Matthew 24:20-21, "But pray that your flight be not in the winter or on the Sabbath, for there will be a great tribulation such as not occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor ever will." This is another prayer request suggested by Yahshua. Interestingly enough, this is speaking to those in Jerusalem. It's not necessarily speaking to us outside of Jerusalem. But who are the ones who will flee when they see tribulation come in earnest? Who will flee in Jerusalem? Won't it be the Messianic Jews in Israel? They're the ones reading the New Testament. They're the ones hearing the message for them that once you see the tribulation come, head for the hills. It's something to think about and consider for the end of the age. But the prayer is still a basic request. Acts 27:34-35, Paul also, like Yahshua, prayed continuously. "Therefore, I encourage you to take some food." This is Paul speaking. "For this is your preservation, for not a hair on your head of any of you will perish." Having said this, he took bread, gave thanks to Yahweh in the presence of all, and he broke it and began to eat. Out of the stormy seas, I mean, they were thinking they were all going to die, I'm assuming, except Paul. Paul was given the knowledge that they would be all right as long as no one jumped ship. So Paul comforted the crew and others there with encouraging words. And Paul also offered up a prayer of thanks and blessings for the food and began to eat, as did everyone else. And we offer very simple prayers like this all the time, but, you know, well, because we're always eating. Of course, this nation is getting a little hefty, including myself. There's a lot of simple prayers given. They're full of thanks, and they're offered up. But yet these are basically simple type prayers. Matthew 15, 34 through 36. And Yahshua said to them, "How many loaves do you have?" And he said, "Seven, a few small fish." And he directed the people to sit down on the ground. And he took the seven loaves and the fish, and giving thanks, he broke them and started giving them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the people. Another example of a simple prayer before eating, you know, giving thanks, breaking bread, this type of thing. It appears this country would be a lot healthier if it ate a diet of fish and bread, but that's not what's happening. You can't eat fast food all the time and expect Yahweh to bless it to your health, even if you do pray over it each time. It doesn't remove the saturated fat out of the fries nor the sugar out of the drink you're having with those fries and the juicy triple meaty burger, which a lot of people have. They serve it up at the restaurants. But we're to try to eat healthy. We are a temple. We are to take care of this temple. Okay, speaking of getting heavy, let's get a little deeper on the prayers now and see what is different about them at the next level. 2 Corinthians, or actually Chronicles 7, 12 through 14. Then Yahweh appeared to Solomon at night and said to him, "I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. If I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, and my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive this sin, and will heal their land." Well, certainly Yahweh had heard, since he had consumed the offering by fire that Solomon presented with prayer. And that must have been the sight to see, the fire coming down and consuming that offering. But the prayer that was being offered is like a priestly prayer in the sense that he's praying for the people. This is something that Yahshua does. He intercedes for us as a high priest. Solomon is interceding for the people and asking Yahweh, basically, again and again, if you go back to the verses, he's saying, "Look, you know, if you punish the people, please, if they repent, you know, please forgive them." He says this time and time again. And there are two accounts of the same prayer. One is in 2 Chronicles 6, starting in verse 12, and also in 1 Kings 8, starting in verse 30. So, you know, if you have some time later, go ahead and review those. I think it's very, very helpful to see a prayer like that offered. Yahweh reiterates a condensed version of what Solomon had prayed about concerning the people. If Yahweh punishes the people and they repent and stop sinning, then Yahweh would forgive. Yahweh is basically confirming that he would do what Solomon was asking of him for the people. It's a deeper, in-depth prayer that Solomon gave than just asking for extra helpers or praying that one might not have to run for the hills on a Sabbath day or just giving thanks for food. It's a deeper prayer than those. Solomon's prayer was no doubt heartfelt and with the people in mind, outgoing concern. So it was a bit of an intercessory prayer, I guess we could say. Those close to us in mind when we pray, but when we pray in depth and really focus on Yahweh in prayer, it sometimes means separating from others for an extended period of time. And we can see this expressed by Paul in 1 Corinthians 7, 3 through 6. "The husband must fulfill his duty to the wife, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her body, but the husband does. And likewise, also the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Stop depriving one another except by agreement for a time, so that you may devote yourselves to prayer and come together again, so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. But this I say by way of concession, not of command." So why would you go away for an extended period of time just to pray? Well, maybe you'd want to fast and pray and do these have this dedicated time just between you and Yahweh. And I know of ministers that take a couple hours of their time in the morning just dedicated to prayer. I'm sure they're sincere and are doing the best that they can, but I trust that Yahweh is really going to open up some hearts and minds at the end of the age. But Paul, as he sometimes does, says this is a good thing to compromise with one another, to work things out with one another, even though there's not a specific command about it. When you think about statements from Paul like this, it is love that he is expressing, these type of things that he's telling us that we can do. And when you look at the fruit of the Spirit, there is no law preventing what Paul says to do. Even though there is no command for it, there is also no command against it. So Paul is on the right track in expressing these things and telling us and giving us some just common sense information that will help us in our relationships and help us with the most important relationship with our Heavenly Father through His Son. Now, getting deeper in prayer to Yahweh may mean pouring yourself out emotionally through a heart-wrenching and difficult time, and we all have them, and Paul went through much for Yahshua's namesake. In 2 Corinthians 11:27 through 29, we read, "I have been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights and hunger and thirst, often without food and cold and exposure. Apart from such external things, there is the daily pressure on me of concern for all the assemblies. Who is weak without my being weak? Who is led into sin without my intense concern?" I think we feel the same way. When we see someone drifting, if we see someone going in a direction we know is wrong, we certainly pray for them. We try to help them. But if they go so far, then I think they tend to fade away and tend to fade out of our memories, and we don't really pray for them anymore. And we're told that we are not to pray for such rebellion that is where they have totally forsaken Yahweh. I don't think we need to pray for that. But we do need to pray that the people are not deceived. And Yahweh takes into consideration the orphans. He loves the orphans and the widows, and He cares for them. We are to care for them as well and pray for them. We are to pray for the youth of this country and around the world, I think. We are even to pray for the presidents and the kings, the rulers, so that there might be peace among us. There's different things to pray about. And many of these things are to be outward, outgoing, reaching out type of prayers for others. It's always easy to pray for ourselves, but we're even commanded to pray for our enemies, and that's a hard thing. But we are to be in communication with Yahweh about these things. Now, with Paul most certainly cried out to Yahweh for help and guidance. Do you think maybe he cried out to Yahweh for the brethren too? Philippians 1, 8 through 11, "For Yahweh is my witness, how I long for you all with the affection of Messiah Yahshua. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things which are excellent, in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Messiah, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness, which comes through Yahshua the Messiah, to the glory and praise of Yahweh." He perceived Yahshua within himself. I don't think there's any other way to explain it here. Speaking of the affection of Messiah for others, he said he had been filled with the fruit of righteousness through Yahshua the Messiah. He's speaking of being saturated in the Spirit of Yahweh. And I think as we grow, as we draw closer to Yahweh, as we go through difficulties and troubles and we become weak, Yahshua becomes strong within us. The Spirit becomes stronger. And he offered up in-depth prayers in the Spirit and in heartfelt affection towards the brethren. As we do this, Yahshua is living his life out through us in the body of Messiah. Speaking of the Messiah with us and in us, 2 Corinthians 13:4-8. "For indeed he was impaled because of weakness, yet he lives because of the power of Yahweh. For we are weak in him, yet we will live with him because of the power of Yahweh directed toward you. test yourselves to see if you're in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Yahshua the Messiah is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? But I trust that you will realize that we ourselves do not fail the test. Now we pray to Yahweh that you do no wrong, not that we ourselves may appear approved, but that you may do what is right, even though we may appear unapproved. For we can do nothing against the truth, but only for the truth. Wow. Wouldn't this be a great world if the ministers today could only speak the truth? But they're speaking lies. They're speaking mistruths. I listened to one recently who was speaking some truth, which sounded good. It was truth. But it was mixed with untruth and a shallowness of worship, a very superficial way of worshiping, because it wasn't combined with obedience and the truth of Yahweh's word. But here we find that they could do nothing against the truth. How can you if you perceive the Spirit within you? And this was the initial outpouring of the Spirit. The second, or the latter rains, the outpouring is coming. So how can you if you perceive the Spirit within you and are led by it? And I'm not talking about not having your own will. I mean humbling yourself, submitting to His will rather than your own. How can we fail the test? If we are not praying, if we're not doing Yahweh's will, if we are living in the world and are no different than the world, what the world does, could that be a sign that we've fallen away from Yahweh and have failed the test? I think so. Prayer can suffer if we don't keep our eyes focused towards Him, if we are not considering ourselves or our lives in the Master and living according to Yahweh's will, then prayer will not be a part of our lives, at least not prayer that is heard by Yahweh. He will not hear sinners. If we are living in sin, we are not living in His Spirit, and our prayers will suffer as we will suffer ultimately. Do we pass the test? Are we moving forward, becoming more and more like Yahshua, serving the Father and our fellow man? Are we awake in Him, or are we falling asleep? We have to ask the questions like this sometimes. And if we are not doing what we know we should be doing, then we need to get on our knees and pray for the strength to do what we need to do. It's as simple as that. Sometimes we just need to do whatever it is that we need to do when it is in Yahweh's will for us to do it. And His word is in His will for us to do. We can come together and be gathered on the Sabbath day. Now, I know there are some situations where we have ill health. We're expected to do the best that we can with what we've been given. And if we're in good health, we have the finances, these type of things. It's not a condition, it's an objection. We can overcome objections. And Yahweh can even help us to overcome conditions. But sometimes we have to go through difficulties and pain and suffering. And if we suffer in Messiah, we're told that we will reign with Him. But we're expected to do our part. And if you're given the ability to do your part, then you have to do it. So it's as simple as that. Let's go to Luke 22:40-46. When He, speaking of Yahshua, arrived at the place, this is at the west side of the Mountain of Olives, essentially at the Garden of Gethsemane, He said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And He withdrew from them about a stone's throw, and He knelt down and began to pray, saying, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." Now an angel from heaven appeared to Him, strengthening Him, and being in agony, He was praying more fervently. His sweat became like drops of blood falling down upon the ground. When He arose from prayer, He came to the disciples and found them sleeping from sorrow, and said to them, "Why are you sleeping? Get up and pray that you may not enter into temptation." Does Yahshua care for us? Does Yahshua care about the ones He's discipling and working with? It's interesting that they were sleeping from sorrow. They were worn out from their grief. They had already been told that he's going to suffer, that he's going to end up being killed. This is their master. This is our Savior. What a terrible thing to know. Yahshua thought it was a good time for in-depth prayer, not only for himself, but also for the disciples. Yahshua's own heart-wrenching prayer to the Father was a request of escape, to not have to die, but in it he was accepting of Yahweh's will. He said, look, I'll accept this cup if it's your will. And it was. Hebrews 5, 7 through 9. In the days of his flesh, he offered up both prayers and supplication with loud crying and tears to the one able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his piety, his righteousness. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him to the source of eternal salvation. If a prophet of Yahweh from old came and spoke to us today, what would he say? What would he do? 1 Samuel 12:22 through 24. For Yahweh will not abandon his people on account of his great name, because Yahweh has been pleased to make you a people for himself. Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against Yahweh by ceasing to pray for you. But I will instruct you in good and in the good and right way. Only fear Yahweh and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider what things he has done for you. Do you think maybe Samuel would have had in-depth prayers for the people? For Yahweh's people? I think it's obvious. The disciples, apostles, knew they needed to have time to prayer, to pray in-depth prayers. Acts 6, 2 through 4. So the 12 summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, It is not desirable for us to neglect the word of Yahweh in order to serve tables. You know, to neglect the spiritual things for the physical. Therefore, brethren, select from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Would they have had in-depth prayers to Yahweh? Of course. And so would the other brethren. We are all disciples. We're all taught by the Spirit of Yahweh. But it is true that there are certain gifts dispersed which are different from one another throughout the body. In all of the prayers we can offer up to Yahweh, they can start out with thanksgiving and simple requests, but they can develop into concern and heartfelt prayers, which can even be developed into deeper and more fervent and impassioned prayers with effectual emphasis. In all of this, we should be developing the deep, outgoing concern for others with the focus on walking in the Spirit of Yahweh, doing his will. With all of this said, there are prayers and ways of doing things that are not acceptable to Yahweh. And just as we are to draw close to that which is good, we are to avoid those things which are wrong, even the appearance of wrong. Matthew 6 and verse 5 through 7. Yahshua said, when you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen by men. He knew what they were doing. He knew why they were doing it. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close the door, pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. It may have been that the people saw the Pharisees and thought, oh, well, nothing wrong with that. It seems okay. But Yahshua saw right through what they were doing. He saw their hearts. He knew what they were doing. And they were up to no good. They wanted people to like them, to look up to them, to be impressed with them, rather than to give glory and honor to Yahweh. So it's a bad thing. Vain repetition is common in some countries, some religions, and while looked upon as meditative, it is actually worthless and vain what they're doing. Some recite the so-called Lord's Prayer in absolute word-for-word verbatim, but they fail to understand it was just an outline that basically Yahshua was giving, something to guide us along, not to just repetitiously say it over and over again. And yet we see some people do this. And yet he just, before that example, tells us, don't be doing these type of things. I think he must have seen and known ahead of time that people would be doing that. So he made it clear, even before he gave the example of prayer that we're to have. But getting to another deeper level of in-depth prayer can mean we need to fast. But if the fasting is not done correctly, then would the prayer be acceptable? Ancient Israel thought they were doing right at times when in fact they were doing wrong. Isaiah 58, 3 through 5. Of course, their bad example is an example for us not to do. Why have we fasted and you do not see? Why have we humbled ourselves and you do not notice? Yahweh responds, behold, on the day that you fast, you find your desire and drive hard all your workers. Behold, you fast for contention and strife and to strike with a wicked fist. You do not fast like you do today to make your voice heard on high. It is to fast like this which I... Is it a fast like this which I choose? A day for a man to humble himself? Isn't this what I want? Is it for bowing one's head like a reed and for spreading out sackcloth and ashes as a bed? Will you call this a fast, even an acceptable day to Yahweh? Their ways were not Yahweh's ways. He wanted them to learn. He wanted them to get it on their mind, to get it into their heart, the instructions that he had. And they were unwilling many, many times. We hear of prayer meetings, prayer warriors. We hear of sayings such as, little prayer, little power. More prayer, more power. Sounds good. But is that really the case? I'm sure that the Spirit of Yahweh has allowed you to see the error of healing ministries who focus on miraculous healings. They throw people backwards. They line up the wheelchairs and make a big show of things out in public. Who else was out in public? Oh yeah, the Pharisees, so that they could be seen by men. There are similar groups who focus on prayer and prayer meetings and praying for everyone. But if it is not combined with living Yahweh's way, what good is it going to do? Is it acceptable to Yahweh? There are instances in which people are praying sincerely and wholeheartedly. Many, I'm sure, do. But lack understanding and knowledge because they've been deceived by false shepherds who tell them, you don't have to walk the way Yahweh tells you to walk. And they just don't see. Yahweh can open up their minds, though, and can and does bring people to a closer relationship with him. If someone is sincerely knocking and asking to come in, he does allow it and will help them to understand his ways. But a person has to be willing to not just pray, but do. The real power comes from doing Yahweh's will and praying for others in his spirit. Matthew 7:7 through 8. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened up to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks knocks. And to him who knocks it will be opened. It's a promise from the Messiah. And he holds the key. He is the key. But it's not without doing his Father's will. So does this mean that we do our own will once we understand and have knowledge of his instructions for our lives? You know, his instructions being his Father's instructions. Yahshua said just a few verses later, keeping things in context, Matthew 7:13, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. And this is very true. Prayer can open the door to eternity, but disobedience can shut it. And that's not something we want to do. We want the door open to us so that we may enter. And it's going to take some work on our part. It's not all roses and, you know, there's some thorns along the way. We have to overcome. Let's pray that we overcome the world as Yahshua did by his example of prayer in obedience, submitting to his Father's will, just as we are to do.